Easter Sunday, believe it or not, can be a tricky Sunday to decide what to preach on because everybody knows everything there is to know about Easter. At least that's kind of the way it feels sometimes. And then you realize that, no, nobody knows everything about anything, really. So why don't you just take a look at it and see what happens? And so as I look through these texts, again, very familiar, all of them, we have a history lesson from Peter. We have Paul telling Colossians to become who you actually are. And I kept coming back to the gospel. And I came back to the gospel for several reasons, I think. And perhaps the single most important one, or the one that struck me, and it's this kind of thing has been striking me more frequently lately, and I'm not entirely sure why, other than I think it's a response to what's sort of going on in the world. The first person who saw angels in our lesson was Mary. Mary, who was not a prostitute. Let's just get that right out of the way. A lie started by who knows who. This is a person to whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. This is someone who had become a part of Jesus' entourage, generally erased from a lot of the gospel accounts, but extra biblical contemporaneous accounts suggest that she was there for a lot of what we understand. So it makes more sense that Jesus was the first, or Mary was the first person to encounter the risen Lord. We often forget that. It's a bad habit of ours to forget women as a group. I'm not talking about any individual person, but as a culture, we often forget women and what they've done. But it was a woman's voice that announced the resurrection, because it was Mary who went to the tomb, saw it was open and empty, and so Mary went and told the disciples, who did not believe her. It's not ridiculous. Even though they'd seen Jesus do miracles and things, there was still a large part of them that didn't believe people came back from the dead. So, I mean, I can understand that. And the other part is that, generally speaking, women were discounted at that time, even more than they are now. So it's not an absurd thing that they didn't just take her at her word or anything, but they went to see themselves, which is also, it just makes sense. When somebody tells you something extraordinary has happened over there, you may as well go over there and see what's going on with it. And we have John and Peter running. John is obviously the better athlete. Peter is the less shy one, shall we say. John gets there, looks and sees that there's something obviously different, because there's nobody there. There's no body there. There's just the claws. Peter goes in, sees the same, and John comes in. And so they leave thinking, this is extraordinary. We don't know what's going on. Because the scripture says at that point, they still didn't really understand the resurrection. Which, considering how many people have a problem with it today, after 2,000 years of people trying to teach it to us, it's not too surprising that they found it a little bit difficult. And so Mary is there, because she came back with the two of them, and she sees angels. Seeing angels throughout Scripture is an extraordinary event. And I think the only reason why this one didn't begin with "don't be afraid" is because they were stuck in a little tiny tomb, and they couldn't be as overwhelming as angels tended to be. But there wasn't any, there was, they weren't, they didn't tell Mary that she shouldn't be afraid. They just said, what are you doing? Why are you here? And she was weeping, didn't know what to do, because that's what you do when people die. We grieve. That's why we have Good Friday. That's why we had Palm Passion Sunday, trying to capture that sense of grief that the disciples felt, that anyone feels when they've lost someone they love, they admire, they respect, they look up to, particularly someone that they've been in close contact with for several years. And so the angels Well, the angels continue to ask questions that are obviously not meant as questions. Like, why are you crying? Is the stupidest question you can possibly ask anyone in a cemetery. Someone I know recently was going through quite a lot. And so they went out to the cemetery because they said it's the only place you can go and just cry openly and nobody thinks anything about it. Why are you crying? Well, because I'm in a cemetery. Somebody I love is dead. That's what usually happens. But she answers and says, they've taken my Lord away. I don't know where they put him. And so then she turns around. We don't hear anything more from the angels. I'm assuming they just went back to where they were before. And Jesus says, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? And I've heard people say, like, what was wrong with Mary thinking he was the gardener? And I just think, you know, if your grandma suddenly showed up, would your first thought would be grandma has risen from the dead? Or would it be, wow, that person looks a lot like my grandma? Or that old person there might be able to help me find what I'm looking for, or whatever else it might be. And Mary goes, well, thinking he's the gardener, which is a reasonable assumption, says, they've taken him away. Where is he? And then Jesus says, Mary, the power of our own name is something that we sometimes forget. Our name, whether it's the name we were born with or a name we choose later, becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of our identity. And to hear it catches our ear. Now, perhaps that, I don't know, I don't have a very common name. So when I hear it, my ears sort of perk up. And my first thought is somebody's talking about Terry or Jerry or something else that rhymes with it. But still, you know, our name, it connects with us. And if people know our name, whether it's common or not, we think, this must be somebody I know. And it's at that moment that Mary understands who it is and says, teacher. And we don't know exactly why Jesus says, do not hold on to me, other than I'm guessing that Mary went to hug him or something. And this whole, I have to go back to my father, is a little obscure. I'm not sure what that means. I don't think we have to know we don't have to know everything to know that there's something extraordinary going on. And then Mary goes back, and the announcement of the risen Christ is made by a woman. As I said, I think what's been pulling me back to this passage this week, this Easter, is a heightened awareness I'm experiencing through the culture we have, in which women are still, generally speaking, ignored and disparaged. Perhaps not as badly as in Mary's time, but nonetheless, that's just the way it is. I mean, that's why it's a patriarchy. We ignore what women tell us. And I think this story says, ignore what women tell you at your peril. The thing that I find so interesting in these days of divisiveness and I'm in and you're out or whatever it is, and everything has been brought down to this binary of with me or against me and all of those things, that if we can get past that in conversation and talk to people about the influences in their life. And I've done this intentionally over the years, and it's just come up organically often. The number of people who look back on the critical interactions of their life are almost always women. Not always by any means. There are many wonderful men who are mentors who demonstrate a life that is absolutely worth emulating. That's not freakishly unknown. I mean, there's lots, but the number of people who talk about this, that, oh yeah, it was when my mother, an aunt, a teacher, all of these things. And I find it extraordinary that we don't pay more attention to that just as a culture. But we've somehow lost sight of the fact that women are often the ones who know what matters first. Women tend to be, and this is a wide sweeping generalization, take it for what it's worth, women are frequently more spiritually aware or spiritually acute than men. I don't know why. And I certainly don't say that's the case everywhere, but it seems to be the case. I find it interesting that some of the high-control conservative denominations who don't let women preach look back on a heritage of single women who went out and evangelized everywhere that men would not go. It's this push and pull of how do we address this in our culture? And that's I'm not here to preach that kind of a message, but what I'm here to preach is that I don't think it was a coincidence that Mary made that announcement. I don't think it was a coincidence that Mary was there, because Mary was one of Jesus' close followers, discounted in the Gospels, but, as I said, extra-biblical texts, which are reasonably trustworthy, speak often to Mary's interaction and other women's interaction throughout Jesus' ministry. We have Mary and Martha. We have other places where we read like these oblique references to women being there. But this is the place where we have the unmistakable gift of God to those people who needed to know Jesus had been raised from the dead, coming from a woman in a culture that women were second-class citizens. I remember a friend of mine, he was in seminary when I was in college, and said that he himself was a devoted follower of Mary, the Mother of God, and did everything she said, because the only thing she says in the Bible is, do what Jesus says. You know, it's obviously it's intended as a joke, but there's a bit of seriousness in there. There's a bit of why don't we look broader for where God's speaking to us? God doesn't speak to me every day, every week, every month. God doesn't speak to me out loud very often. That was a one-time thing. But God often speaks to me through people. And I realized that God was speaking to me a lot more when I started looking for God's word coming through people. And while I had the great good fortune to be raised in a home that never was anything other than proto-feminist, like, I don't know if my mother would have described herself as a feminist, but she was. She was born in 1927. That word meant being extreme and all these other things. My mother and my father both treated the world and the people in it with as much equality and respect as they could possibly have. And so I grew up with that. And even then, as I started listening more carefully, saying, like, where is God speaking to me? It's not just out of the Bible. It's not just when I'm writing my journal and the Holy Spirit impresses things upon me. Where am I hearing God? And I'm hearing it from all kinds of people. Many people who I don't think would identify themselves as followers of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't need them to follow him, to speak to me through them. And an extraordinary number of them have been women. And it's not that I was ignoring them before. It's that I wasn't listening to anybody before. And when I started listening, I realized that God was helping me see, what does it mean to follow Jesus today? Not just what did it mean in the time of the Bible. That's important. I mean, we get lessons from there that are eternal, that apply all the time. But what does it mean today? How do I treat people with sufficient respect and give them the dignity they deserve so that if spiritual things come up, they listen to me instead of just writing me off? And those lessons, how to listen with respect and how to engage in meaningful conversation, meaningful dialogue about significant things, religious or otherwise, I've learned lots of those from women who I might not have if I wasn't aware that God was going to speak to me one way or another. I just had to listen. I said before often that I wish God spoke to me out loud more often. I wish God was just sort of there telling me to turn left here and go talk to that person. It would be convenient. But that's not the way it is. But that doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to me and speaking to each of you. Through that inner sense that the Holy Spirit has put something upon your heart, or through the voice of another human being, whoever they are, whether they are people of the same faith, of a adjacent faith, of no faith at all, because God chooses the vessels that God chooses. And if I'm willing to listen, I'll hear what God has to say to me. And I'm just noticing, because I'm a white man in a patriarchal society, I'm just noticing it more now, that it's been women who have taught me a lot and continue to do so, as do men. This isn't some anti-anything. It's just when I started listening, I started hearing wisdom and how to be a follower of Jesus in this day, in this year, in this context. And I got message after message, and continue to, from the people around me, women and men, non-binary, people who haven't decided what they are yet, everything. It doesn't matter. The sermon's called A Woman's Voice because that was so unusual back then. It's less unusual now, thank goodness. But we still need to listen. And so, if the sermon title is A Woman's Voice, the message for today is anyone's voice. If we listen for God through what people talk to us about, the stories of others, it's there to be heard, but only if we listen. Some people listen easily and well, and I am appropriately jealous. You know, that's just a little bit of jealous, not really jealous. I just wish I did it better. But the more I listen, the more I learn. The less I talk, the more I hear. And for all of us, God wants to let you know that you're okay, that you're loved, that you're doing good things, that you're doing what you are called to do. Because that's what God wants to tell us more often than not. God very seldom wants to give us a stern talking to. God wants to give us words of encouragement, words of direction, and they're there for us to hear if we listen. And maybe they come from a woman if we're not used to that. Maybe they come from somebody much, much younger than us. I learn all kinds of things from my kids, my grandkids. God speaks to me through them too. It's easier to hear it from them. I don't know why, but it is for me. I won't speak for you. But if the disciples could listen to a woman's voice at a time when women were discounted to the extent they were, we can listen to anyone and be alert for the word of God coming through the mouths of the people around us, good friends, long-term acquaintances, people we just met. Because God is there speaking to us. All we have to do is listen. Amen.